I'm doing a live stream on YouTube this weekend. I show very conclusively that Dr. Elaine Aaron, who created the whole empath, highly sensitive person genre, which they now say 20% of the population are empaths or highly sensitive people, that she massively misdiagnosed herself, that she's in massive deception. That if you watch her documentary, right there in the first 5 minutes, she literally went through severe childhood trauma and went into complete denial about it and created this whole subculture. And I don't think, and her intent isn't malicious, but that's the problem with psychologists, psychiatry degrees. They don't learn about any of this. They just learn how to diagnose and prescribe. They treat the human body like it's a car engine and think it's all genes and cells. They don't learn about nurture. Everything's nature. So they're massively undereducated on what really develops us. And so as I watched it, she's just totally detached from truth and reality right in front of her eyes. Her own words, she literally describes severe childhood trauma and then deceives herself and calls herself highly sensitive. When what she's literally describing is two parents who were so filled with fear and shame that they traumatized their child into being sensitive and afraid. Like, she literally described how childhood trauma happens. And instead of facing it, she went in the worst day cycle. She went in shame and denial and created a false adapted persona right there and calls it empath. And now she has this whole subculture of people who, believe they have some sort of human, superhuman skill or trait. And if you confront them on it, they get very narcissistic. Like there was somebody blowing up. I have this short video where a long time ago I talked about empaths. He doesn't know what he's talking about. No, I'm a gift. What I have is a gift. He doesn't know it. You wouldn't know unless you're gifted like us. Like that's the narcissistic thing of the empath is, there's this human, superhuman gift. And I'm not trying to belittle them. Because they claim the status of victim because they're so affected by others, everyone's emotions. So that's a victimized position, which is disempowerment. But this is what many of us do is we get victimized and we get disempowered and we stay in this victim position because the empath ultimately is a victim position. They place themselves as prey to the narcissist or toxic people, right? They're always victimized because they're so gifted and there, boom. That's how they then, just like a narcissist, manipulate and control and covertly become falsely empowered because now they're better than. Because I'm so gifted emotionally, because I was born with this superhuman trait, I'm above everyone. And they don't see how narcissistic-like that is. And now the difference is many of these, if given the proper information, will seek help. They'll get into truth and reality, know that actually what they experienced was childhood trauma and they're severely codependent. And when they start addressing those issues, they can mature out of that. And so that's why I call it narcissistic-like, because a true narcissist is almost impossible, like insanely rare that they would ever hear the information and be willing to deal with it. But there are many on this empath side that can be narcissistic. And so, they have all these new narcissistic terms for everyone and everything. I don't really like to dance in that field, but, if someone wants to, they can. Because in my experience, most people are just severely codependent and people don't know the difference between disempowered and falsely empowered. So they just call everyone a narcissist and all these subversions of narcissism. Like they've just created all, 20,000.
It's funny because now there's this, now there are funny videos on Instagram for millennial communities. Talking about how millennials are dropping the narcissism word on everyone. Oh, he's a narcissist. She's a narcissist. My family isn't a narcissist. That friend's a narcissist. Toxic people, toxic person, toxic place, toxic work people. It's like.
Yeah. And all of that is self-deception. That's what people don't realize is when you judge, blame, hate, criticize anyone or anything. While it might be true about them, the only reason you see it is because it's you. And that's the problem is people hear that and they go, yeah, whatever. Well, in part because no one's laid out a process to show them how it's you. Well, that's what this book does. It shows you very convincingly and very easily how those people, as they're calling everyone else toxics and empaths or blaming the narcissist and coming after me, that they're literally talking to themselves. And that's what we all do. The book shows, I think, convincingly, almost language isn't to talk to other people. It's to talk to us. We use descriptors and metaphors, judgment and blame in everything. And all of that is us talking to, it's our authentic self talking back to us, trying to show us the way to reclaim ourselves. But no one's laid the process out for people to break down their words. It's they're having an idle conversation and describing some football play, that the metaphors and descriptors and the anger and angst in that actually has to do with their own childhood trauma and unhealed pain. They don't know that. And so that's what the book shows, is here's how you do it. Here's how it is. And as soon as you see it, like, and this is what's fascinating, is as soon as you see it, you can't run from it, because it hits you in the gut, which is your authentic self. And for the first time in your life, you're going to discover the difference between what I call the trauma gut and the authentic gut feeling. That knowing where you're like, oh, he's right. Like
it can feel like an insult in the beginning.
It does. Because then you realize, oh my God, I have been in deception my whole life. And now for the first time, you see the separation between your authentic self. Now, some people call that the ego or the shadow, or, you know, I call it the adapted self. You know, there are all these different names. Okay.
I call it my acting character.
Sure.
My part for the day.
Whatever parts, yeah, everyone.
The mask.
All of those terms, and they're all the same.
Yeah.
Ego, shadow, adapted wounded child, adapted self, blah blah blah. Parts.
Showmanship.
They're all just throw them in this bucket. And so, once you use this process that I lay out, and you feel that separation, you do feel insulted. And it's this, it's all of this that feels the insult, because it's shame. And that's what this lives off of, is shame. Pure shame. And for the first time, because the feeling inside is a knowing of this is right. And then what comes over is this, that goes, I'm bad, I'm attacked, you know, blamed. That's right there. There's your childhood trauma. That's the induced shame that your parents and society placed into you. For the first time, you see that separation. That's what's so powerful about it. Now, most will run because of denial and self-deception. Also, because of how the brain works, the left hemisphere. It's a denial-making monster. And so it'll double down in its falseness and then flip the script and make itself a victim. I lay that out. You know, that's really convincing when you read how the brain works. And so that's the thing, is when people realize this and I lay it out, they're just going to be like, I mean, those who won't be able to accept it, it's because that shame core is so deep, so intense, and the detachment from their authentic self is so embedded. It's going to take them a while, and it will feel like I'm assaulting them and blaming them. But that's the parents' voice, not mine.